Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Live. Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
All right, on Monday night, here we go. Welcome in. It is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Appreciate everybody hanging on from Redbird Rush Hour. That was a fun show that we did over the last hour. Kevin Wheeler, Bernie Miklas, and myself. And now I've got you for the next 2 hours. I'll take you till 8 o'clock tonight. And we're doing mostly Cardinals baseball. And I feel like we're kind of at a point right now with this team where, well, first off, there's a lot of things to assess. We got into many of them during the Redbird Rush Hour. We certainly did not get into all of them. And we will continue down those different narratives, those different conversations. We will have those as we move along. But we got a few other things to get into. Dan Reardon's going to join us at about 7:35. We'll talk U.S. Open golf with him. But outside of that, it's Cardinals baseball. No disrespect meant to City. They played to a tie against the LA Galaxy over the weekend, which was not great because the Galaxy have been terrible, but Klaus was incredible. Got the first hat trick in the history of City, so that was cool. He was named the player of the week. They call it like player of the match day or something like that. The MLS does, but basically player of the week. That was announced today. So really cool performance for him. But basically today we're talking Cardinals baseball. We welcome in your phone calls, your text messages, your tweets, and your chats on the video stream. That, I always say chats. That doesn't make sense. You can comment in the chat on the video stream. That'd be the better way to say that if I want to use English words that actually make sense. So if you want to call or text, the phone number is 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. Tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MATTPAULEY on air. Or like I mentioned, you just leave a comment in the chat, whether you're watching on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube. And we will get to those as we go along through the couple hours. Look, it was a disappointing weekend. Absolutely, 100%. There's no way around it. And this is where, you know, it's funny because baseball is a sport where you play 162 games. So every game in its own right is worth one of 162. So no single game actually has that much value. But sometimes when you divide up the season, there are games that feel like they have a little bit more value. And the narrative about this team would be completely, completely, completely different if they would have found a way to win one more game against the Brewers. They lost 3 out of 4. If they would have split the series, you would have said, you know what? I mean, you take it. Split the series, a 4-game series on the road against a divisional opponent. You'll take it. They lost the second game of the series on Friday 3-2. They lost yesterday by a 3-2 score. Yesterday, to me, is the one that is a little bit frustrating more so than the other because you had a lead in the game that you were unable to hold on to. It was, to be fair, it was a short-lived lead in the top of the fourth inning. The Brewers answered with a couple runs in the bottom of the fourth. Christian Yelich hit a home run very quickly where that 1-0 lead really did not last very long. But you did have a lead that you were unable to hold on to. And then, yeah, I always – this is one of those things that I kind of sit on the fence on because I don't want to be dismissive of a team, and this is very much part of the Cardinals' DNA this year. I don't want to be dismissive of a team that never gives up, always fights, always finds a way to make it interesting in the ninth inning. That's a really good trait to have. I appreciate – not only do I appreciate about this team, I love that about this team. It's one of my favorite things about the 2025 Cardinals. I think it's filled with a bunch of dudes who really care and really want to win, and they're not going to give things away, especially late in the game. I say all that to say this. Man, you got to score a run in the ninth inning yesterday. You got to score a run in the ninth inning. I love the fact that you got the tying run on at second, eventually got them all. But you got to score that run. You have to score that run. And this is not a – I didn't do the postgame show yesterday. Joe Pott did. I didn't listen yesterday, so I don't – Kyle, you were in. Did Joe get any – was there any, pushback on, Walker should have been bunting or anything there in the ninth inning? Was that something that was coming in?
No, not many people were commenting, but to be fair, it was Father's Day.
That is true.
I figured it was just a bit of a slower postgame show because of that.
I would have disagreed with that vehemently. But you got to get that runner over.
Yeah.
You have to get the runner over.
Someone did suggest that that Walker should have either been pinch hit for or right before the show ended, someone said, could Walker have bunted? But even John and Ricky said that's not happening on the broadcast.
No, you're not. And that's where one of the most frustrating parts of this season exists because, and we talked about it in spring training, we talked about it when the season got started, and it's so flipping hard to assess this team and assess the decisions that are being made because if you don't bunt in that situation, and again, I am team don't bunt. No matter what the scenario is, I'm not bunting. But let's go to this make-believe world for a second where bunting there actually gives you a better chance of winning, which I don't think it is. But let's pretend for a second that it does. If you do bunt in that situation, well, then you are doing what you need for the right now. But if you don't bunt in that situation, you're giving Jordan Walker the experience and a big at-bat late in the game. So I was about to say darned if you do, darned if you don't. It's the opposite of that. It's all good if you do, all good if you don't. There's no whatever decisions that's being made. You can say, well, it's so they have the opportunity. Or you can say, well, they're trying to win the game. Again, really terrible example on my part because that is not a situation to bunt. But when it was going down, I was like, I know there's people out there. I wonder if is Joe Pott going to get the calls that I get when I'm hosting the postgame show? And darn it, Joe, you were able to avoid it yesterday. All right, there's a lot going on right now below the major leagues as well that could eventually impact the big leagues. Brian Walton from the Cardinal Nation wanted to chat with him about a few things. He's going to join us in just a moment or so. Don't go anywhere. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
but not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Great Bar Sports Overline right here on KMOX. We are taking you until 8 o'clock this evening. No Cardinals baseball. They get back at tomorrow in Chicago when they open up a three-game series against the White Sox. Very happy to welcome back on to the program. You read him. He's the owner of thecardinalnation.com. They do an amazing job covering the Cardinals minor leagues. He is Brian Walton. You follow him on Twitter at @B_Walton. Brian, always great to talk with you. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, absolutely. So as the Cardinals have slumped a little bit here recently, there's been even more focus on some of these younger guys that we might see in the relatively near future this year, next year at the big league level. So it's a great opportunity to bring you in because I know a lot of Cardinals fans are asking questions. Let's start, though, with J.J. Weatherholt because he is destroying double-A pitching right now. Do you feel like we are close to seeing him get that promotion to AAA?
You know, it's an interesting time right now, Matt, because it's the final week of the first half of the season. Folks may not know the minor leagues play two halves. So the division winner in the first half plays the division winner in the second half of the first round of the playoffs. So Springfield is in a great position to win the first half, AA in the Texas League, the North Division of the Texas League. There are four games up with, I think, six to go. And certainly the leader of the offense, J.J. Weatherholt, along with catcher Leonardo Bernal, are two guys that you would think might get a chance to move up once that first half title is locked down. Of course, Weatherholt, first-round draft pick last year, hitting .323, continues to draw walks, on base .444. So 929 OPS certainly is doing everything that they want him to do at AA. The other thing that he's done there, Matt, is that he's played a dozen games or so at second base. And that's, of course, important because the St. Louis Cardinals kind of have a pretty good shortstop right now. And so, you know, when the time does come for J.J. Weatherholt, he needs to be able to, you know, move around the infield and play elsewhere if needed.
His June is ridiculous. He's hitting .486 with a .1350 OPS. I know it's still a relatively small sample size because they've played 11 games or he's played 11 games in the month of June, but it's not just those numbers that you gave, Brian. It's him getting better and seemingly really understanding what he has to do to have success against double-A pitching.
That's right, and what the Cardinals have traditionally said is they promote players to a new level, maybe sometimes a little before they're ready. They want to see them play up to the level of their competition, and once they can play beyond that level of competition, then they show that they're ready for that next step. And certainly there's no one in the infield in Memphis that's going to block in the outfield, I should say in center field, in Memphis, who's going to block J.J. Weatherholt when he's ready. You know, Siani's been up and down, but, you know, Weatherholt is going to play wherever he is in the system. And certainly he looks like he's on a good track to get to AAA this year. But I also don't want to pass on talking about Leonardo Bernal. Mm-hmm. Leonardo Bernal is leading the Cardinals system with 11 home runs, a 21-year-old. He's a year younger than Weatherholt at AA as well. 40 runs batted in 46 games, hitting 900, .930 OPS. Leonardo Bernal, unfortunately for him, has the fact that he happens to be a catcher. And Jimmy Crooks, who's right behind him and leads in with 9 home runs and leads the system with 48 RBI, is the man at Memphis. In fact, here's a factoid for you, Matt. Right now, of the top 5 hitters in the Cardinals system in home runs, 4 of them are catchers. What are they going to do?
I guess it's a good problem to have at some point, but for the right now situation, it certainly creates a bit of a logjam. And if I'm going to give the June numbers for Weatherholt, I should give the June numbers for Bernal, where he's almost at the same level, hitting .432 with a .1288 OPS. So it is it's pretty remarkable what they are doing right now. Those two guys. Do the Cardinals, like, historically, is that something they'll do for their minor league affiliates that are rolling towards a first half or even a second half title, where they do try to hold some of their guys back maybe a little bit to help them secure that?
Well, I wouldn't say hold back, but we're talking about a week here or there. It's not that big of a deal one way or the other. And again, we have to remember that the Cardinals player development organization is all new this year.
Yeah.
From Rob Serfolio, you know, on down. So we're not really sure if, you know, if this organization is going to act like the prior one. Now, I will tell you, you know, going back 2 or 3 weeks, traditionally they had made a number of promotions over the Memorial Day period. This year they kind of spread them out, but they accomplished the same thing. There have been a number of players who have already moved up, including outfielder Joshua Baez, catcher Renio Rodriguez, and then on the pitching side, of course, Tecoa Roby just moved from Springfield to Memphis finally for the first time.
Yeah, it's so many, like, this of all the years, it feels like this is the year where I have you on. I don't know if we're gonna have enough time because there's so many different guys I want to talk about. And you just mentioned a couple in there as well. Let's start with Baez, because this is somebody who was a top level prospect for this team, had kind of fallen off the prospect, some of the prospect list out there, and then seemingly a breakthrough this year. Should fans view him kind of the same way, even when he had the prospect status, just based off how he's kind of found it this year?
Yeah, I think if you were to look up the term prospect fatigue, you might see Joshua Baez's picture. Now, the reality is the young man's only 22 years old, but he was drafted out of high school, but he came out of the Northeast. And we know that's an environment where they can't play ball necessarily as much as they do in the warmer areas, and it's a little harder to get a read on players. You know, good size physically, but struggled. A year ago, if we would have had this conversation, I would have said Baez looks like a washout. He actually got moved back from high A to single A last season to try to get his mojo going again. Well, this year he hit the ball like crazy at Peoria, moved up to Springfield, and continues to play well there. In fact, even better than first rounder Chase Davis, who's his teammate on that squad. Joshua Baez definitely is a guy who has put himself back on the prospect map this year.
We are talking right now with Brian Walton from thecardinalnation.com. Tecoa Roby was incredible at AA Springfield this year, a 2.49 ERA over 10 starts. His first appearance with Memphis didn't go great, gave up 6 runs in 4 2/3 innings, but just it's one appearance. We saw him a lot during spring in big league camp, and he was impressive there. It felt like they were maybe viewing him more, projecting him as a reliever at the big league level, and part of that was his inability to stay healthy. Has that changed at all, do you think, with what he's been able to do this season?
Well, the Cardinals have never made that statement about his future, and they don't really make that about any player. That's out speculation. But like you said, Tecoa Roby was hurt when he was acquired by the Cardinals almost 2 years ago, and he's been hurt multiple times since. Probably the most encouraging fact about Tecoa Roby is that he's stayed healthy this season, and he's gradually increasing his workload. I think the key for Roby will be, you know, he'll master AAA at some point down the road, but the key will be, will he be able to build up his pitch count and his innings deep enough so that he can be a viable major league starter? Because, you know, the major leagues don't want a guy that's going to go 5, maybe 6 innings. They want to have a guy that they, you know, potentially go 6-7, you know, maybe even 8 innings in that in a particular situation. And Roby hasn't yet shown that durability and that endurance. But again, he's still young, just 23, and you know, right now he's probably the jewel of those 9 players that the Cardinals picked up 2 years ago at the trade deadline. Of course, when they traded Flaherty and Paul DeJong and all those others.
Quinn Matthews is back at Memphis. He got a little bit banged up, had to go through the rehab process. He's made 2 starts at Memphis in the month of June, a 2.25 ERA. We talked so much before the season getting started that this is a guy who is likely to make his major league debut this year. You kind of view him almost maybe as number 7 or number 8 on the starting pitching depth chart for the big leagues right now with so little available. Is he still on that track, even if it's been bumped a little bit, that we're still likely to see Matthews get to the big leagues this year?
Well, it's going to depend on the needs in St. Louis. Now, as you said, Matthews, you know, lost some time due to injury. He had some shoulder difficulty, and some of it apparently was attributed to him changing his motion and causing some problems, and that should be supposedly back on track. So the good news is he didn't have to have a procedure. He, you know, it's not something that's medically oriented. But what it affected was his ability to consistently throw strikes, which is something that Matthews has been known for in the past. The strikeouts are still there. Matthews will be fine, but, you know, a lot, frankly, is going to depend on what happens with St. Louis. As we've seen with Michael McGreevy, you know, he's in his 3rd year at AAA. He's done everything that he needs to do, but there isn't an opportunity for him yet. So, you know, depending on what happens with the Cardinals and the playoff race, whether they're buyers or sellers, you know, maybe an opportunity will come up for Matthews later in the year. Maybe it won't be until 2026. And I don't think, if that's the latter case is what happens, that's going to be a big problem. You know, Matthews only got to AAA very late last year after he moved through 3 other levels of the system last season. So, you know, this season is a time for him to continue to build up. And, you know, we'll have to see when the next opportunity opens. But, yes, to answer your question, I think, you know, he would be the next man up after McGreevy. And part of that, frankly, is because the AAA rotation has just been decimated by injuries. Ian Bedell's injured. Sam Roberts injured for the whole year. Tank Hance is still rehabbing in the minors. Drew Rahm's on the injured list. So, you know, a lot of the guys that would be in the – and, of course, Gordon Graceffo was moved to the bullpen. So, you know, there aren't a lot of great options beyond McGreevy right now if they do need a starter.
You mentioned Tink Hens, and it's been such a start and stop with him. And a couple years ago, he almost got to 100 innings, and you were hoping that would be something to spring forward him. And then he dealt with injuries again last year, and it certainly happened this year as well. He's going through his rehab assignment right now. What has to happen for this guy not only to get back on a path to getting to the major leagues, but is him being a starter even you'd have to push the innings so much at this point for a guy who can't stay healthy? There's so many questions with him. Where do you assess and how do you view Tink Hens overall right now?
Well, it's kind of like Roby, but, you know, without the good health right now. You know, both of them have had, you know, dealt with these injury issues and were stuck at AA for a couple of years. Now, the Cardinals actually promoted Hens to AAA this spring, but he didn't pitch after March 11th because of an injury. And, you know, he's still struggling. He's bouncing around. He's pitched, I think, rehab at 3 different minor league levels right now. And, you know, Tink Hens just isn't ready yet to face AAA hitters. And that endurance thing is a real issue, Matt, because, you know, you have to look at how many innings did the guy throw last year, and you don't want to, you know, double those innings or, you know, go farther beyond that and risk, you know, further injury. So these guys, it's going to take some time for them to build up. And, you know, at some point in time, I think the Cardinals are going to have to say, listen, you know, Tink Hens was drafted in the class with Jordan Walker and Mason Wynn and Alec Burleson. He was a high school guy like the first two. You know, maybe we need to make him a reliever just so we can get him to the big leagues and use him. And it certainly wouldn't be like a Jordan Hicks that you could argue was rushed to the majors. You know, Tink Hens has been in the system now for 5 years. It's you know, at some point in time, they've got to find out what they've got in him. But, you know, in all fairness, Hens has to show that he's healthy and ready to contribute. He's not yet.
To that end, and I'll wrap you up with this. Do the Cardinals need to maybe be a little bit more creative at AAA specifically with finding ways to get guys to the big leagues, whether it's taking Thomas Ajayi and putting him in the outfield or somebody else. I mean, right now you look at what's going on with the big leagues and all these spots are really taken, and there's going to be some guys, maybe they're, you know, Thomas Ajayi's big league ready right now, but there's not really a spot. Could the organization do more in terms of trying to get guys into other positions to create those opportunities?
I guess so. I mean, so JC has played shortstop and second base consistently. And, you know, if you look at the roster right now, most folks probably don't even remember that Jose Barrero is still on the team. He's on the bench. Now, Jose Barrero has the advantage that he can play center field as well. JC would probably never be a center fielder. But the point is, if the Cardinals wanted to JC up, you know, they could send Barrero down tomorrow. And they might risk losing him because he doesn't have any minor league options. But neither here nor there. I don't think – it used to be way back, you know, guys would make their major league debut at a position in the field in the majors. And in my opinion, that should never happen. But when you've got a Brendan Donovan on your roster, a guy that can, you know, play very strongly, a very good second base, but also play corner outfielder, you have more flexibility. I guess long-winded way of saying, even if Thomas Ajayi could play the outfield, I don't necessarily think that would have sped his return to St. Louis. And as folks probably remember, when Ajayi was up, he hit pretty well, and he's doing fine in AAA this year as well. He's kind of biding his time, you know, waiting for his turn.
Brian Walton covers Cardinals minor leagues for thecardinalnation.com. Give a plug if folks are not familiar with your website and what you and your staff do, and all the extensive coverage of Cardinals minor league baseball. Tell folks what they can expect out of your website.
Yeah, we have a 256-page prospect guide where we go into detail on about 5 dozen prospects that you can either get in PDF or printed book version. On the website, we have daily articles covering all the minor league action for free with links to the box scores. We have reporters and all the minor league affiliates. Of course, have a Wednesday podcast with Kyle Reese that's very popular where we cover the minor leagues in detail. Again, that's free as well. So there's a lot if you choose to subscribe, but there's a lot of free content there. And I hope if you do come to Cardinal Nation, you like what you see and choose to subscribe.
Again, the website, thecardinalnation.com. He is Brian Walton. You follow him on Twitter at @B_Walton. Brian, thanks as always for your time, and we'll talk again real soon.
Sounds good, Matt.
Very good. That's Brian Walton joining us here on the program. We appreciate him taking a few moments with us. We've got some time for you right now. If you want to chime in on what's going on with the Cardinals, we will welcome in your phone calls, your text messages, your tweets, and, of course, your messages via the chat on the video stream. Multiple ways to get connected with the program. If you want to call or text, the phone number is 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air, or as mentioned, leave a message on the video chat. We'll be back with more in just a moment. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. We're back at it on a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We'll have a couple shows this week. We'll also have a show on Thursday because the Cardinals will wrap up their series in Chicago against the White Sox with a day game, but then night baseball Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. So two sports open lines this week. Talk so much about the Cardinals not having many off days here in the month, just two of them. Well, this is the second one, so the Cardinals are going to jump right back into a really just grueling schedule of day after day after day. It was nice when they got one day off every week, but they are not in that stretch right now. The next time they are scheduled to have an off day is July 3rd, the day before the 4th of July, day before they open up a series against the Cubs at Wrigley. And that's also likely going to be a travel. Well, you know what? Actually, never mind. I take that back because they'll play in Pittsburgh on Wednesday the 2nd. That's a day game. They'll fly out of Pittsburgh that night, get to Chicago, and spend all day Thursday in Chicago with an off day on the road before they'll play that game against the Cubs on Friday, July 4th, which is going to be an afternoon game. I want to be clear on something because I've got like a complex about something where anytime I mention something that's going on with the team that is helping to contribute to the team not winning games, that it feels like I'm making excuses for the team. And that's not what I'm doing, because the bottom line on this team, and I'll say it over and over and over, is they've got to play better. They got to play good enough to win games. No matter if some stuff is going to go against you, you got to find a way to win games. Like that's the business here. That's the job. This is Major League Baseball. Your job is to go out and win games. So all that, so I am not giving them a free pass. But it does feel like they've had some things going against them here recently during the downturn. And that's what happens, right? Like when you're having a hard time finding wins, going along with that is you're not going to catch breaks. You're not going to find some luck. Because when the Cardinals were winning a bunch of games, they were. There was some breaks that went their way. There was some 50-50 sort of situations that went the Cardinals' way. And when you build up a winning streak or when you build up a period of time where you're winning more often than losing, sometimes you are going to benefit from some things that are just kind of more luck than anything else. And when you're in the opposite time, it's going to go the opposite way. So that's all I'm stating. It does feel like the roster has had a hard time kind of keeping up with this schedule. And we talked through coming into the month how they were going to need to utilize the entire roster. And Ali talked very openly about that. And I think they have attempted to do so. How you got to build in a few more off days for some guys because there's just not the off days built in. I mentioned this on Redbird Rush Hour today. I kind of chuckled yesterday, and not chuckled in a good way, but just chuckled in a, man, you kind of saw this coming. They finally give Mason Wynn a day off. Mason Wynn needs days off, and he ended up playing the end of the game, but they give Wynn the day off from starting yesterday. I'm sure they wanted to give him the complete day off and couple that with the off day today. They were unable to do so. But what happens? The guy that you've got at shortstop, Barrero, doesn't make a play that you feel like Mason Wynn makes, and that helps lead to a run. I know they don't love putting Ivan Herrera behind the plate, but you have to do it still. And at one point, a pitch gets by him. And I don't know if anybody stops that, but just the fact that it was Herrera back there and not Pajes makes you kind of look at it and go, okay, this roster isn't at a spot where, you know, we talk about the margin of error. Well, there's the margin of error right there for the loss yesterday. A couple plays that end up not getting made. And there's other moments as well. We talked earlier about the team not scoring in the ninth inning. It's not one thing here or one thing there. It's a bunch of things that end up leading to this team not coming away with wins. But a contributing factor is the schedule. And everybody deals with it. Everybody has a stretch just like the Cardinals are having right now. Again, that's part of Major League Baseball. That's part of 162. And just trying to navigate through this is something that has been a challenge for this team. And they get the off day today, and then they pick it up again. I wanted, you know what? Let's take a break. I want to jump into the situation on Saturday with Wilson Contreras and Reese Hoskins and everything that went down and the hit by pitches and just the way that played out. Who was right? Who was wrong? What went down there? How do you feel about the Cardinals' impact on that, the Brewers' impact? In fact, I'd love to take your thoughts on it. If you've got thoughts on the way things went down on Saturday when it came to all that, we will certainly welcome your phone calls and your text messages at 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, or you can leave a message on the video chat if you are watching on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. So we'll touch on that a little bit. There, a lot went down. That was fun. That was fun on Saturday to see the way things happened. But it also was something that caught a lot of attention. So, yeah, we'll touch on it a lot more in just a moment as we roll on with the Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
So I think it's good when you have teams that don't like each other, especially teams that see each other a lot, good teams, teams that are contending for the same sort of thing. And there have certainly been, over the years, some issues between the Cardinals and Brewers, for sure. And I'll also say this. When Wilson Contreras was a Cub, man, did I not like that guy. Man, did I not like that guy. He was so easy to not like when he was a Cub. So much so that when we went into that offseason where the Cardinals obviously and clearly needed to bring in a catcher, and we were talking about Wilson Contreras, and we were talking about Sean Murphy, and at that point in time, Toronto had like 9 million catchers, and you're like, well, you could trade for one of these guys. I was kind of anti-Contreras, all because I didn't like the guy as a Chicago Cub. And then he gets here, and it's like, oh, I like it when this guy plays for your team. This is fun. This is cool. This is the guy that you want on your team. The reason I didn't like him is the reason I like him all at the same time. So, and look, I met Wilson the day that they did the press conference with him, and I got like 10 minutes or so with him to do an interview that we recorded for this show, and just starting to get to know him a little bit at that point. Like, immediately I'm like, all right, I get it. I like this guy. This is good. He's going to be a good Cardinal. And he's clearly been through a lot in his time with the Cardinals, coming in as a catcher, getting thrown under the bus the way he handled that situation, getting moved from catcher to first base. Like, this dude's been through a lot, and all he wants to do is be a Cardinal and win games and help the team in so many ways. Love Wilson Contreras. So that takes us to Saturday. And I can tell you, as somebody who worked in Milwaukee, Brewers fans did not like Wilson Contreras as a Cub, and Brewers fans do not like Wilson Contreras as a Cardinal, and that has never been more true than right now. So that situation, the way it played out on Saturday, Contreras did take like a half step back on that play where he had the collision. I didn't think there was any ill intent there. And again, I'll be the first to say that I'm looking at this one a little bit through, you know, Cardinal covered glasses. If I'm looking at it from a Milwaukee perspective and I already don't like Contreras, maybe I do look at it in a different way. But I understood the frustration in him kind of creating that collision. But I also thought the Brewers' reaction to it was over the top. That was my point. And then we learned that Rhys Hoskins is out there yelling out of the dugout, just basically trying to tell Contreras how to play first base. And that starts everything. And from there moving forward, even if Contreras was somewhat in the wrong starting on that, and I'll concede that, that's fine. Him taking that little half step back created a situation where you could have a collision, and it did indeed cause that collision. The way things went down after that was really weird. When Hoskins got hit, that was clearly not on purpose. And that I'm not stating from any color, cardinal covered glasses on this one. That was clearly not on purpose. And he got angry about it. You could see, if you watch the video, you could see him talking with Contreras over at first base. And he literally said the words, "It doesn't matter if it was on purpose or not." Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does, Rhys. It absolutely does matter. And then Contreras gets hit, clearly on purpose. Jose Quintana will tell you that it's not. That the Quintana factor is another thing in this. A former Cardinal and somebody who was teammates with Contreras in Chicago, and those two guys are evidently tight. But Contreras 100% was hit by a pitch. Bad job by umpires there not to throw him out of the game either. Like, what? That was clear as day. I have seen much less egregious situations of guys being hit than that right there. So the umpires are lucky that did not turn into more. But I don't know why they didn't throw Quintana out of the game right there. That was, to me, an easy one, and they didn't do it. To see Contreras go pick up that ball and then go hand it to Quintana, you talk about showmanship in baseball at the greatest level. That was it right there. And then what happens? You get Nolan Gorman coming up to the plate, and he hits one out of there, which is what you are supposed to do in a situation like that. The other team wants to mess around with you a little bit. Go do something about it. And to bring it back to baseball, that's kind of what makes yesterday's loss that much more disappointing, because you were hoping that was going to be the galvanizing moment that got this team rolling, and unfortunately, they were not able to get the win yesterday.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
Back at it as we roll on. We've got another hour to go. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we are going to be joined by our friend Kevin Ryans from Fox 2 and Channel 11. We'll talk through the current Cardinals situation with him. Might bring up some basketball with him, but that might be a little tough for he's a Knicks guy. He's a big Knicks fan. And I have had the pleasure of sitting in the press box next to Kevin when he is watching a Knicks game. Specifically, I've seen him watch Knicks playoff games. And I love Kevin so much. I just know in those situations, especially if things are not going well for the Knicks, I just keep my mouth shut. I let him experience what he's experiencing over there, and I don't need to interfere. So I say that tongue-in-cheek, but Kevin's going to join us in just a little while. And then we're going to wrap up our golf coverage, I guess you can say, with Dan Reardon. Dan is such a benefit and blessing to us here at KMOX with the coverage he provides of golf. A guy who knows it all, has seen it all. We had him on Sports Open Line on Wednesday. You heard his leading in the U.S. Open. I heard his reports all weekend long. We're going to have him on coming up at about 7:35 or so, and we'll talk with him about the U.S. Open. That was fun. That was one that you remember because the weather was terrible, just terrible, there at Oakmont in Pennsylvania. And then the putt that was made to finish it off, just you talk about a big old exclamation point. We don't talk a lot of golf here, but that was really a lot of fun. And you felt really happy for JJ Spahn. And I'm a softie in so many ways. Every day older that I get, the more of a softie I am. I can't get enough of the wife and the kids looking on and their reactions and watching dad go out there and win the U.S. So all of that is just awesome, and it tugs on the emotional side of you. I love it. I love all that. That's why I love sports. Sports is more than just winning and losing and performance. Like, there's so many things that get into the world of sports, and that's part of why I've dedicated my career to it. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's a call. That's a text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. We touched on this a little bit during the Redbird rush hour, but I wanted to circle back around because there was a situation in Major League Baseball over the weekend that went in a direction that I don't think many of us thought it was going to go, and that was Rafael Devers getting traded away. And the Devers situation in Boston has been borderline toxic for a while. The Red Sox wanted him to change positions. He didn't want to change positions. He said that he was assured by management that he wouldn't have to change positions. That management at the time being led by Heim Bloom, who's not there anymore. Then they have an injury and they want him to go play first base, and he's unwilling to do that. He's only going to DH. Like, it was just, and I understand his frustrations. I really do. I don't completely agree with the way he's handled the situation, but I understand the frustration of feeling like you're told one thing and now you need to do another. And we've all had versions of that in our jobs where it's kind of the bait and switch nature. Now, I always say, anytime I try to start comparing like something you and me are doing in our jobs to somebody who's making, tens of millions of dollars, it's not the same. It's not apples to apples. It's very much apples to oranges. So I always kind of try to pump the brakes on myself when I start to make those comparisons. But at the same time, when Rafael Devers is just being absolutely destroyed by a lot of people for his frustration that he's told one thing and then does another, I think a lot of us in our jobs, there was a point in my career where I took a radio job, and I took the job and I was told it was going to be all sports, nothing but sports. It was going to be 100% sports. And what happened? A year into the job, I'm covering school board meetings in a small little town in Iowa. And I'm going, this isn't what I signed up for. This isn't the job that I took. And yeah, there's a whole lot. Again, this is where the whole apples to apples thing comes in. Like, obviously a huge difference when talking about that sort of situation. But it is, I think, good to think through what he went through and his frustration. Did he handle it the right way? Should have he just kind of sucked it up and accepted the idea that he would go over to first base, maybe even have kind of a handshake agreement with Craig Breslow out there? They're a, their baseball head that, look, I'll do this, but this isn't a long-term play. If this is where you guys have me at, we got to figure out a way to get me out of here. And maybe they did. Maybe that will. But at the same time, if they had that sort of agreement, you would have thought that it would have played out a little bit differently. Look, I saw Chris Cotillo. We've had him on this show before. He covers the Red Sox. He's covered him for a really, really long time. I think Mass Live is who he covers. I saw some of his tweets that he sent out today, and I saw that he was a guest over on Foul Territory. He made the point that not only was there frustration from the front office with Devers and the way he was handling that, but beyond that, he wasn't willing to do some of the things that baseball players are sort of expected to do, whether it's taking part in marketing messages or promos or going out for a fan meet and greet every once in a while, that's just something that he was completely unwilling to do, that he wanted to get paid handsomely to play baseball, and that was it. So it had gotten worse and worse and worse for him in Boston. They trade him away. Kevin Wheeler made the great point earlier, because any time a big trade like that happens, you always get fans of a team saying, well, my team could have done that. Well, that doesn't seem like that much when looking at the minor leaguers' names. Well, it's because you're not probably, I'm not talking to everybody here, but generally speaking, you're probably not overly familiar with the minor leaguers that are going in the other direction. And like Kevin said today, and I think he was right on, the trade for Rafael Devers, what they got back was essentially the Cardinals' equivalent of Quinn Matthews and J.J. Weatherholt. Not saying that that's not actually even a good deal, But it's not just like this easy, okay, this is a smart decision and you got to go forward with it. There are some shades of gray that go along with a deal like that where you are giving away cost-controlled, high-level talent. It hurts Boston right now. It probably doesn't hurt Boston in the long run. They're getting some very good players that are going to come back in. It absolutely helps the Giants. It certainly impacts the Cardinals and their any attempt that they have at making it into the postseason. And I would continue to say that this is a Cardinals team that can contend for a playoff spot. What they have done the last 2 weeks, notwithstanding, I think this is a team that can hang around in the playoffs in playoff contention. But then when you start to look at, say, the wild card race, because they're starting to fall back in the divisional race, they've got a lot of games against the Cubs coming up. Maybe we look at the divisional race a little bit different after that. But right now, they're 7 games back in the division, still really early, no matter what, to be talking about divisional races and things like that. But to be fair, here over the last few weeks, the Cubs have surged a little bit. At least they've picked up a little bit of ground, and the Cardinals have certainly fallen back. Cardinals are also now trailing the Brewers by a game and a half after they ended up losing 3 out of 4 over the weekend. Like I said, I think the Cardinals continue to stick around and continue to contend in the National League, but this changes things. The biggest reason why the Cardinals are still contending is because you have 2 teams this year who have underachieved at an incredible level. The Atlanta Braves have underachieved at an incredible level. That's probably too strong when I say about the Arizona Diamondbacks, but the Diamondbacks have underachieved as well. I think we went into the season and we were talking about all the good teams in the National League, and we were certainly including the Braves and the Diamondbacks in that, and those teams are not where you expected them to be. Now, the Diamondbacks are only a half game back of the Cardinals. So if the Diamondbacks and the Diamondbacks have won 6 of their last 10, Cardinals have won 3 of their last 10. If that continues on, obviously Arizona's going to jump over. Cincinnati, they've won 7 of their last 10, Cardinals have won 3 of their last 10, and those 2 teams are tied right now. So there are teams that are coming up on the Cardinals where Cardinals have some work to do to try to space out again. But when you look at who's ahead of them, the Brewers, I think they're as good as the Brewers now, even this past weekend with what happened. I still feel like the Cardinals have more than a puncher's chance at being able to be a team that finishes ahead of Milwaukee this year. Brewers have been better than the Cardinals lately. Cardinals took a series from the Brewers when they saw them the last time, so that's kind of up in the air. But when you look at the teams right now, the top 3 teams in the National League wildcard race, it's the Phillies, the Giants, and the Padres. So the Phillies are really, really good. Padres have had a very good season with just one period of time where they couldn't win to save their life. But outside of that, they've been really good. It was the Giants in that top group that I said to myself, I think the Cardinals can catch the Giants. That's what I was saying. And now what happens? Rafael Devers, a really, really good hitter, an impactful hitter, a middle-of-the-order kind of bat, he jumps from the American League to the National League. Another, by the way, National League is so much better than the American League this year. And here is just another player who's entering the National League that adds that much more star power to what's going on in the National League. And that inherently changes the San Francisco Giants, where 24 hours ago or 29 hours ago before this trade goes down, I'm still saying that the Cardinals are a team that can hunt down the San Francisco Giants. The Giants look much more formidable now that they have Rafael Devers on that roster. 314-436-7900 is how you call. That's how you text as well. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we are set to be joined by our good friend. You see him on Channel 2 and Channel 11. He is Kevin Ryans. He's with us in just a moment or so as we roll on with the Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. Back at it here on KMOX. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line. We are with you until 8 o'clock in about 15 minutes or so. We are set to be joined by Dan Reardon. We are going to put a a bow on what was a really fun weekend of golf at the U.S. Open. We are efforting Kevin Ryans. I think we're going to get him here in just a moment or so. He is a sports anchor over at Channel 2 and Channel 11, anchor and reporter. Always enjoy being able to talk with him, so he's going to join us here in just a moment as we'll talk more Cardinals baseball with him. Something happened today real quick. This has nothing to do with the Cardinals, but I thought it was pretty cool. Gage Wood from the Arkansas baseball team, he struck out 19 batters in a complete game no-hitter. Yeah, College World Series, complete game no-hitter for this Arkansas pitcher. His name is Gage Wood, which is absolutely incredible. If you're not paying attention to the College World Series, it is one of the best sporting events that happens every year. I saw this. There's a barbecue joint in the state of Arkansas. It's called Wright's Barbecue. And they tweeted out after the no-hitter that Gage Wood never has to pay for brisket again. So if you know this dude, go to Arkansas with him and go eat barbecue with him, and you never have to pay. And I don't know. I don't find myself in Arkansas very often, but if I see a Wright's Barbecue now, I'm like, hey, that's the place that gave that pitcher as much barbecue as they wanted for the rest of their life. Anybody, by the way, with the name Gage Wood as well, should go to Arkansas and go to this place and be like, hey, you said Gage Wood never has to pay for barbecue again. All right, with that note, let's bring in Kevin Ryans. He is a sports anchor and sports reporter with Channel 2 and Channel 11. Appreciate him taking some time with us. Kevin, thanks so much for being with us today. How are you?
Matt, thank you very much. And man, I got to find me this Gage Wood.
Yeah.
I would absolutely take him up on an offer to go to one of those brisket places and get some free food. That sounds pretty good to me.
You're a CrossFit guy. You've lost like 9 million pounds doing CrossFit. But are you a big barbecue guy? Is that one of the places where you'll go after a little bit?
I'm a huge foodie, man. And, you know, I grew up, you know, my dad's from Memphis, Tennessee. And so we love our barbecue. So in the Ryans household growing up, we got a lot of barbecue food. So,
all right. Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. It's part of the reason why I had to lose some weight over the last few years, because I accumulated so much of it eating some good food over the years.
Let's jump into the Cardinals a little bit here, because it was not a good weekend for them. They lose 3 of 4 to Milwaukee. They could have split that series. They could have won 3 of 4 if a couple one-run games would have gone the other direction. They are struggling right now, for sure. It goes back beyond the Milwaukee series. How do you assess what's going on right now, and what's more real for this team right now, the way they've been playing recently or the good run that they were on just a couple weeks ago?
You know, I think at the beginning of the year, my opinion of the season was to temper the expectations, because, you know, who knew what you're going to get out of the young Cardinals team. And, you know, they've shown so many good flashes that it's just hard for me to be a little disappointed right now. I think if you were drawn into the idea that they could make a push to this postseason, and maybe this is the good team that we've been waiting for, I can understand some disappointment recently. But I think you still have to, you know, kind of temper those expectations a little bit. This is a young team for the most part, experienced for sure, but young. And you're going to go through some of these growing pains. You're going to go through some of these stretches where it doesn't seem like you can compete, or you might be falling just a touch short, maybe a play here or a play there. But they're also, in the same breath, partially the team that you saw in May that dominated, that hit well, that pitched well. I think you're going to get a lot of these ebbs and flows. Yeah, I think it's with every team, but it's particularly this Cardinals team. You're going to get the stark differences. You're going to get where they're playing incredible baseball and when they're playing a little lethargic. I think that's something that you should expect the rest of the season. It should keep them around this mix for the postseason for most of the year. But if you're a Cardinals fan, you have to be understanding that this is going to happen. And just enjoy when you see some good baseball, because I think this group has surprised me in so many good ways. And with the way that they play, particularly in May, that is the upside of all this, is that once this group comes back together, a few more years, you know, if they do run it back. I mean, the level of baseball that they can play, is awesome to see.
Not to go all Shawshank Redemption on you, sometimes hope can be a dangerous thing, and it does feel like for many people there was this hope that got built up while they were going through this really good period, and then all of a sudden it's this feeling of go for it, go for it, go for it, and the stated goal when the season got started of giving guys runway and finding out what you had, like that was almost forgotten, and that's never totally changed. And it's just, it creates another dynamic for this team where the external expectations that started as being low went up a little bit higher, and now it just feels like everybody's trying to figure out where they should actually place those expectations.
Yeah, and if you come in with an even mindset, knowing that there's a, you know, the group is youngry, you know, that Victor Scott's saying, you know, that they want to do well, yet you know that they're going to have their struggles. I think it's easy to look at the season and be understanding. It's harder when you gain the hope. And I think all season long, that's the way I approached it as a media member. I knew because they started out really good, and then they went really bad, and then they had the month of May, which is wonderful, and now they're struggling a little bit. I kind of had a feeling that you were going to see these kind of wild streaks within them. And it's not necessarily a bad thing, especially when you got young guys playing at this level with as many games as they are for the first time, maybe second or third time. You know, they have to get that experience. Otherwise, how do you know what you have on you? And so, you know, I understand wholeheartedly the Cardinals fans getting excited, and they should be excited. With the way that some of the best players have played, particularly in the month of May, how Mason Wynn started, whatever it was, 0-for-20 and got his batting average above 260, above 270. You know, Wilson Contreras continuing to grind after his struggles. You know, Miles Michaelis finding it. Sonny Gray, he just recently had the bad outing in Milwaukee, but he was awesome to watch. You know, I just think for the St. Louis fan, you can't get too high, you can't get too low. I think it's more important that you stay even, watch the team, and just enjoy when you see some good baseball. You know, it's tough for a fan. I know, for me as a fan, so of my teams growing up, I used to think that every loss was the end of the season. But growing up, you realize that, you know, there's different seasons within the season, right? And when you take it from that approach and you look at it from that standpoint, you know that there's going to be some good and some bad, and you just got to roll with it. And whatever's meant to be is meant to be for this team. I still think they have a good chance of competing. They've shown it. They show that they can go toe to toe with the good teams, and taking series from the Mets and from the Astros and from the Dodgers. I think it's important that that the fans see it from that standpoint and try to understand that there's going to be some lows with this. But the end return should be in a few years if they're still together, how good this team can be.
Yeah, it's been obviously negative over the last few days, and I'll be the first person to say that it was a very disappointing weekend with the team losing 3 out of 4. I'm not trying to cover that up. I think this team, just like you, I think this team does have the ability to be in contention for a playoff spot. At the same time, I hope that people don't get kind of back to where they were when the season got started, because they are a fun team. There are athletes out there like Mason Wynn and Victor Scott II. You see a guy like Brendan Donovan do pretty incredible things, and obviously being able to watch Wilson Contreras play baseball is something that's special. We saw some great crowds there. That Dodgers series was electric. I hope some version of that does keep happening here moving forward.
Absolutely, 1,000%. There can't be apathy. I mean, the team has showed you, shown the fan base what could be. That was the Cardinals' goal this whole season, was to show what can be and what giving runway to some of these young guys can do. And that same excitement should still live. Not to say you can't be disappointed as a fan. Of course you can. But there is just a lot of good that they have built up over the last couple of months that I don't think will go away. I think you're still going to get some good summer crowds here. You got some big teams coming. You know, the Cardinals, you know, the Cardinals have done their job this year. They have shown that they are more than ready to take that next step, whenever that next step is ready to be taken, because of the way that they have played so far this year. It may turn around, and they may not even look good the next couple of months. I don't know what's to come, obviously. But I think that whatever they set out to do, they've already done. I think now the only question marks really are, you going to get any consistency out of Nolan Gorman or Jordan Walker? But, you know, starting pitching-wise, you know, what kind of consistency are you going to get from some of those guys? Because they've struggled a little bit in this last stretch. But, you know, what they set out to do already this year, I think it's already a B plus for them, and I think they need to focus and hone in on that. One thing that I really liked is you hear from the clubhouse all the time, it's the fact that they continue to come in every day with that same mentality, whether they win or lose. You could tell that clubhouse doesn't really get too down or too high. They're very even. They come prepared to the ballpark every single day. You hear from them.
Kevin, I actually got to stop you a little bit here. We got one more guest that I got to get to, so I really, really appreciate you taking some time with us. I just don't want to make Dan wait too terribly long. So thank you so much for your time. No, you're good. Yeah. You're good, man. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, you have a good one.
Awesome. That's Kevin Ryan's. We got to get to Dan Reardon. He joins us in just a moment or so right here on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We're really happy to once again have on. You heard him a lot over the last few days on KMOX, doing a great job as always, reporting and adding context to the world of golf. He is our golf correspondent. He is Dan Reardon, coming off the U.S. Open at Oakmont this past weekend. Dan, thanks so much for taking some time with us. How are you?
I'm Matt, and certainly it was entertaining, I think, would be the best way to describe this year's U.S. Open.
Yeah, memorable, because I think there's a few different factors that can create memorable weekends of golf, and sometimes the conditions can cause that, and sometimes maybe even a single shot can cause that, and we got both of that. Obviously, terrible weather with the rain and everything, and then also the winning putt being the longest putt made of the entire weekend. Those two things together create quite the memorable weekend.
And I agree with everything you say. I'd like to jump back when we talk about memorable shots, though. I think the shot of the tournament was the tee shot at 17, the par 4, because the putting made made it a two-stroke win rather than a one-stroke win. And then that ball had a little pace on it when it went in, so I'm not saying that it was given that he was going to two-putt that hole. But he really grabbed control of the tournament with a tee shot on 17. You know, everybody was going for that reachable par 4, and everybody had some measure of success. But he was safely on the green. I think 13 feet is what they're quoting the distance if he made it for eagle. And I think that would be the absolute lock that he placed on the tournament. And I was a little surprised, Matt, and I know I pay a lot more attention to golf than you or many people do. I was surprised that nobody drew the comparison, because we saw that same moment occur in 2020 in the PGA Championship at Harding Park, because then a promising young player, Colin Morikawa, did exactly the same thing on the 16th hole. He reached the green, and in his case, he converted the 6-foot putt for eagle and went on to become a champion.
Continuing to be joined by Dan Reardon here on KMOX. And Dan, you look at Spahn and what he was able to do. I mean, pretty remarkable that he had such a slow start to the final round, had the weather delay, and then came back out and was really good after that. What leads to all of that?
Well, for every player, it's going to be a different situation. But I rely on what JJ said afterwards as
applies to him. He talked to what he said, his team, which would be coaches and caddies and things like his family. But mostly he just needed things to stop. And then he said, he was asked, you know, well, how quickly did you get it back? And he said, when I hit my tee shot on 9, which was the first shot he played after the weather delay, he said everything about the shot was right. It was what I was trying to do. And you hear so much of the players using the term feels today. They're looking for the feels. Well, he felt like himself again. He felt like the player that played bogey-free golf on Thursday and only had one bogey on Saturday. So, I mean, it was a matter of getting back to a mental state more than a physical state. And then, you know, then it's history from there. From that tee shot on 9, he had one bogey the rest of the way, and nobody in the field could match that performance.
He was the only golfer that finished the tournament under par. It was, how much of that was related to weather and how much of that is related to the course?
You know, I think for the first 63 holes, it's related to the course. I do think the USGA deserves some criticism about sending the players back out onto that golf course. I don't think the golf course was really playable. And the reason I say that is, yes, J.J. Spahn birdied the last two holes. Yes, he played 3 under in the back 9. Nobody else played golf that well. And I go with the preponderance of evidence in this situation. And we saw shots from players that we hadn't seen from them the whole week. You know, the shots that Adam Scott hit. The situation involving the sodden ground that we were playing from on the golf course. You know, everything about I'm talking about Sam's request for a ruling, and he didn't get the ruling in that case. I just think the USGA overestimated how playable the course was, and they didn't take into consideration what the water had done. You know, you can squeegee all you want, but all you're doing is moving water from one place to someplace else on the golf course. And I sort of think that they probably should not have gone back out again. And that's easy for me to say in hindsight. But let me cite an example. In 2019, the Masters had a tournament on Sunday that looked like it's going to be a great finish, but they had a lousy forecast. And so what the Masters did is they went to CBS and said, we're going to start early and we're going to finish early. And you guys are just going to have to adjust because we're not going to endanger this round not getting finished. And what happened in 2019? They played early. Tiger Woods got hot on the back 9, won his 15th major. And if they had followed the approach that the USGA did, which is not to adjust for the weather forecast, we likely would never have seen that 15th major out of Tiger.
Final thing for Dan Reardon, who's done an incredible job covering this weekend and just really all golf majors for us here at KMOX. Is this the start of something for Spahn, or does he probably go back to being somebody that, bluntly, not a lot of non-hardcore golf fans had really heard of before this weekend?
I think in terms of wins, we're probably not going to see much of a change. You know, he had only one other tour win at Valspar. But I think in terms of performance, I think he'll move up the money list. I think the big question is, do you take this one-time performance in really bizarre circumstance, and do you consider him for the Ryder Cup team? I would say the answer is no, that he has to be in that top 7, that he's not a captain's choice, unless I'm wrong, and he does become a different player. You know, I look back to see who was the last J.J. Spahn to win the U.S. Open, and the closest I can come would be Gary Woodland at Pebble Beach. And Woodland was even a more accomplished in terms of wins and losses player than Spahn was. So this is a unique kind of performance in a unique set of circumstances. And we wish for the best, but, you know, I would be less than honest if I said I think he's going to be the next great find. This is not a discovery moment. This is just a really good story.
Well, it changes his life. He gets over $4 million. He gets exemptions into the next 10 U.S. Opens. He gets exemptions into the next 5 rest of the majors. I mean, this is a life-changing moment for J.J. Spahn, no matter what happens the rest of his career.
And don't overlook the elite tournaments that he's now automatically in. And that's where the real money is in golf. And because of that, those elite events, and Hartford is one this week, those elite events pay huge sums of money, not only to the winners, but the people that finish high. And those are no-cut tournaments. So that's where, from a financial standpoint, he's going to reap a huge benefit, because he'll be in the elite fields going forward for the immediate future.
Dan Reardon always does an amazing job talking and covering golf for Camo X. You can hear his love for the game in everything that he does, and we appreciate him sharing that with us a little bit here on Camo X. Dan, great work as always, and we will talk to you again very soon.
Enjoyed it, Matt.
That's Dan Reardon. We'll take a break. We've got more coming up. We'll wrap things up in just a moment. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Starting to wrap things up on this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name's Matt Pauly. We've had a good last 3 hours worth of conversation, starting with the Redbird Rush Hour and what we've done here on Sports Open Line as we really try to dive into everything going on with this Cardinals team. I think at the end of there's a lot going on. There's a ton going on, and it's hard to pinpoint one single thing that has resulted in this team falling back a bit, because there's a lot of things they could do better in addition to some things going not their way that's a little bit out of their control at the same time. I'm not, every time I say this, I feel like I need to throw the caveat. Batted ball luck and things like that, not the reason the Cardinals have lost some games recently, but we wouldn't be telling the whole story if we did not acknowledge that some of that is going on. So where is this club at? As we just try to kind of put a bow on this conversation that we've been having for the better part of the last 3 hours, where is this team at? Because when we were sitting here and talking, what would we consider the high point of the season? Maybe was it coming off the sweep against Arizona at home? Was it taking two of those three against Baltimore when you got the record to 32-24? They started to fall back a little bit about after that. They had the series against Texas. That wasn't great. They had the homestand where they only won the three games. Two of them were against the Dodgers, but still only won the three games. No matter where you want to put the high watermark of where this team is playing, where did you start to feel a little, okay, this isn't going quite in the right direction? Because even in the Detroit series that you lost 2 out of 3, I think most people looked at it and said they could have easily won 2 out of 3 against the team that had the best record in baseball, and you got Tarek Skubal out of the game early. You didn't feel terrible about that series. So we can, wherever you want to identify the moment that things have not been going great, I kind of look at the probably the Texas Rangers series when you gave up 19 runs between the two losses. That was sort of the moment that's been slipping a little bit. So you go back to the end of May and into June. It has not been a great June for the Cardinals, and now they're going into a key stretch. I so appreciated Kevin Wheeler on the Redbird Rush Hour when he said, we're not going to have the conversation about should they be buyers or sellers. And I've kind of been on that here recently. I know I was as guilty of it as anybody walking the face of the earth. We were having that conversation a lot as it looked like they were going to surge. I think it's time to pump the brakes on that conversation. We'll get back to it. But we can't have that conversation right now, because it's really simple. If the team gets back to playing really good baseball, well then you're probably looking at buying. If they continue to play baseball the way they have in the month of June, you're looking at selling. It's not a complex, interesting conversation to have at this point in time. What is a little bit more interesting is assessing where they go between now and the All-Star break, because they're about to go into a really pivotal stretch. They've got 3 games against the White Sox in Chicago, a White Sox team that's terrible. You have to, when I get it, you lose series against bad teams. Every team does it. The Phillies just got swept by the Pirates recently. That happens. It can't happen when you're kind of fighting for your life for the season. They have to, at the very least, go win 2 out of 3 in Chicago against the White Sox. If they lose that series, that's where I start to kind of look at this and say, okay, can you get this thing back on the right track? And then after that, it's division opponent against division, just one after another, outside of basically one series. You're going to play Cleveland on June 27th, 28th, and 29th. And outside of that, You've got two series against the Cubs, one against Cincinnati, and one against Pittsburgh. So this takes you to Sunday, July 6th. That's going to be the moment where I think we look at this team, especially that 4th of July weekend. That's a three-game series at Wrigley against the Cubs. That's going to be where we're looking at this thing and saying, where is this team at? And then you finish out the pre-All-Star break portion of the year with a homestand against Washington and Atlanta, two teams that you should have some level of success against. But I do think that you're going to have much more of an understanding of where this team is sitting and what's going to happen moving forward. This is the moment right now where they've got an opportunity against divisional opponents where you can go out and find some success. And if they do that, then it puts them right back to kind of where they were, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, wherever you want to put that high water mark. But they got to do a lot of things better. They got to pitch better, got to hit. You know, we talk so much about how much the offense had improved, and it has. Like, I'm not throwing that away as not being true. It absolutely is true. But offensively, it has been more hit or miss lately, and it's been a bit more miss lately. And unfortunately, on the days where they have scored some runs, sometimes that's been the day that the pitching has let them down. There's just a lot of areas from a consistency standpoint that this team obviously and clearly needs to get better here over the next few days. Again, next few weeks would be a better way to say that. Again, you look at this series against the White Sox, and it's a big opportunity. I like the pitching matchups for the most part. The White Sox aren't very good, but you look at who the Cardinals are going to be sending. I feel like Matthew Liberatore is going to start tomorrow. I could be wrong on this, and we'll certainly talk about it on the post-game show tomorrow night after the game. But when you think about where he's been at, he was at a really high level, had a bad start. Next start was one where he got taken out of the game, and they talked about fatigue-related issues, and then after the game, a lot about his body not being synced up. His last start was better, especially from a standpoint of velocity and holding velocity to the end. I felt like that was maybe the start of a turnaround, and I'm going to be really interested in what he looks like tomorrow, because I think that this is set up for him to kind of come back around on this thing and be much better and kind of get back on track. I could be wrong on that. And that last start, it could be more of that. He could still be going through something where he's really fighting through being that every fifth day guy right now, just as that's something that he hasn't had to do for a while and never has had to do at the big league level. So I leave open the idea that I've got that one wrong, but I was encouraged a little bit by what we saw from him in his last start. Sonny Gray, I think he has a bounce back. He was so incredibly frustrated with his performance his last time out. We talked a lot about his post-game comments, obviously. That's one where I absolutely think he comes back around. And then we don't give him credit, probably the credit that he deserves, but really, you know, especially with Liberatore's recent downturn, Eric Fetty has really turned into the second most consistent pitcher on this staff behind Sonny Gray. And more often than not, he is giving you a chance to win. There's question marks pretty much at every spot in the rotation outside of Sonny Gray. I'm not running away from that, but Fetty has been pretty good here recently. That's just about going to do it for the program tonight. They'll match up against the White Sox tomorrow. That is scheduled for a 6:40 first pitch. That means our coverage is going to begin, well, first with Redbird Rush Hour for 40 minutes or so. And then at 5:45, that's when we are going to get underway with network coverage here on KMOX and across the Cardinals Radio Network. Thanks so much for being tuned in. It has been a fun program this evening, talking mostly Cardinals baseball. Had some great guests, including Dan Reardon, who we talked golf with just a few moments ago, but appreciate Brian Walton, Kevin Ryan's getting in here as well. And we will talk to you again very soon, as we will be back tomorrow for Cardinals baseball right here on KMOX.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.